Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Sherwin-Williams Summer Sale is here. Get 30% off select paints and stains or 35% off our newest product, Emerald Symmetry, July 17th through the 27th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. Bring up Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. Going back through, memory lane or down memory lane with some of the quarterbacks back in the day that we saw come through here. Terry would remember, he started covering them in Memphis, so in that 97 season, so he's been covering them ever since. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Let's just start with the task at hand for Mike Vrabel, right, to try to complete a staff. This is what happens when you have success, when you start winning. Typically, you start losing coaches. And Mike Vrabel's no different than a lot of other guys that have had success. And now he's got two coordinator positions that, he's either going to look outside or he's going to hire within. But a lot of candidates that we've discussed – that you would think, maybe he just, at least there's consideration. They've all been hired away. Anthony Lynn is now an OC. Bill O'Brien's now an OC. Where do you think Mike Vrabel? I know they're going to keep quiet. They usually keep things very, very quiet. But where do you think this is going on both offense and defense for coordinators?
Well, we'll start on offense. There was a report that he had interviewed Pep Hamilton, the former Stanford quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator, later was the OC of the Indianapolis Colts. I think he's been with the Chargers and was Justin Herbert's quarterbacks coach in his rookie year. So that's one guy that has been out there, has reportedly been looked at. And I think, the thing with Mike Vrabel, he likes familiarity or seems to anyway. So I don't know how far out, he will branch from his comfort zone. He got lucky in doing that with Arthur Smith. He didn't get so lucky in doing that last year by himself and Shane Bowen sharing the defensive coordinator position. So, it's kind of hit or miss here as to which way he'll go. If you're looking at guys who are on the staff, once again, not a lot of experience with play callers there. Now, granted, Arthur Smith didn't have that experience either. But the only guy who has prior play calling experience is Todd Downing, who was the offensive coordinator for the then Oakland Raiders, I think in 2017. So that's pretty much your limitation, unless you want to go way back and go with Pat O'Hara, who was a play caller in the Arena League. So pretty limited in terms of play callers available on the current staff. I think he's probably going to have to look outside a little bit and see, they were supposedly denied permission to talk to Tim Kelly of the Texans. Interestingly enough, he is the brother of Titans right tackle Dennis Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
But once the Texans make a move and once they hire a coach, if that whoever they hire doesn't want Tim Kelly to stay on the staff, then they would be free to talk to him.
It's always fun, doing the hindsight, so let's do it. That's what you do on Sports Talk Radio. Let's start with the kicker. Can you imagine? Just think about all the woes that they had last season, and certainly they had their share this season. Luckily, they got them corrected the second half of the season, but the first half was absolutely atrocious again. But last year, just think about their kicking woes, and here's Ryan Succop in the Super Bowl kicking for the Bucs.
Yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It is unbelievable. The three guys that they went through last year Cody Parkey, Cairo Santos, and Ryan Succop all had pretty good years this
year. They sure
did. With their new teams.
Yep.
All three of them were really good. So, you know, it just goes to show you, kicking is a little bit like relief pitching. You know how with a pitcher sometimes they just lose their location, and all of a sudden they go from, you know, having an ERA of 2 to having an ERA of 7,
yep.
And then just as suddenly they can go back to having an ERA of 2. So, you know, field goal kicking is kind of the same way. They get in a groove, they get out of a groove, they get back in a groove. It's a crazy business.
No doubt. And then the other hot topic in the offseason, and I know we had you on to weigh in, but I don't. We talked to so many people and talked about it so much, I don't remember which side you were on, but it's certainly been revisited again on Sunday after the Bucs punched their ticket into the Super Bowl. Where were you on the Tom Brady, Ryan Tannehill discussion?
Well, you know, I mean, hindsight, like you said, is obviously 2020.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about back when we were discussing. I'm sure we had you on several times and talked about it with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the window of opportunity probably stays open longer with Ryan Tannehill just because he's 10 years younger than Tom Brady. You know, I think, you know, you can't argue with the season that Ryan Tannehill had. For the most part, he put up the best numbers any Titans-era quarterback has ever put up. He had 33 touchdown passes. Since he's been here, I think he's thrown 55 touchdown passes and like 13 interceptions. We've never seen that type of production out of a quarterback here, not even Steve McNair, because he was more of a dual threat type of guy, you know, who put up solid passing numbers, but also the league was a little different then in that there weren't many quarterbacks, you know, around the league throwing 30 touchdown passes back in 2003.
Yeah, and that's why I think this offensive coordinator role is critically important, because the last two offensive coordinators that Tannehill's had in this market are now head coaches in the NFL. And so they've gone on to bigger and better things. And so we know. I mean, the way the defense played this year, do we expect that it'll be better? Yeah, we suspect and expect that it'll be better. Both words. But we don't know. And right now we know that the only thing that worked for sure last year was their offense. If it wasn't for their offense, you know, they're a 6-win team last season. So they have to stay, I don't know, at the same clip. I don't even know if that's possible, but somewhere around there. And so to me, you know, just throwing anybody into that role is probably not a good idea and expecting the same results, because, like I said, the last two left, they're no longer here because their head coach is in the league.
Right. And you know, when you look at it that way and when you analyze this offense, you know, there are a couple of guys who are key free agents. You know, they don't know if they're going to be able to bring Corey Davis back. They don't know if they're going to be able to bring Jonnu Smith back. But when you look at the direction that this offense is going to have to go, the passing game with Ryan Tannehill provided a superb complement to Derrick Henry in the run game. Now, when you're talking about Derrick Henry, you know, you're talking about a guy who ran for 2,000 yards last season. You know, that doesn't happen very often in the league, only 8 times. Nobody's ever done it twice. Who knows? Maybe Derrick Henry can be the first, but you can't count on that. So if you're thinking that even if Derrick Henry runs for 1,700 yards next year and has an absolute superb follow-up season, you've still got to make up for that lost production of 300-400 yards on the offensive side of the ball, probably with even a better performance in the pass game, or, you know, a better performance from the defense. So there's a little bit of pressure on whoever gets this offensive coordinator's job to keep things rolling and also keep things not only the same, but kind of moving forward, even if you have to reinvent a couple of things on this offense, just to make sure that you do keep moving forward, if you know what I'm trying to say.
No question. I think more than a little bit of pressure, right? Just to follow up on that, Terry, I think when we had Trent Dilfer on, Darren, you remember this. I asked him about, you know, what do you do the next year with Derrick Henry? You can't give it to him 380 times again, or whatever it was, 376, whatever they ended up. He said he would take 75 runs and turn them into passes for other people. He used RPO. He used a lot of different things. I think that's the gist of it. I don't know if they're all passes, but, you know, take 75 runs away from Derrick Henry. So what I think that's an interesting philosophical discussion to have with your new offensive coordinator. You know, what are your thoughts on that one, Terry?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's, you know, when Mike Vrabel sits down and he interviews offensive coordinator candidates, I think his first question, or right there near the top, is where do you plan to take this offense based on what it was able to accomplish in 2020? Where do you take it going forward with the weapons that you have? And to me, the biggest weapon on this team that's ascending, aside from Derrick Henry, obviously, which with a running back, you don't know how long the shelf life is going to be. And Derrick Henry certainly seems to be more of a physical freak than most running backs who are out of the league by the time they're 29 or 30 years old. But to me, the ascending player on this offense is A.J. Brown. So I would probably try to start, you know, building more things around A.J. Brown in addition to building things around Derrick Henry on this offense if I'm the next offensive coordinator of the Tennessee Titans. Do you guys agree?
I think that's great. And I would take it a step further. That, to me, that also illustrates the importance of having Corey Davis back in there. Because I don't see an alternative to where you can really know exactly what you're getting if you're not bringing him back. Because I think if you're taking, whether the number is 75 or 50 or something like that, you're having that many more passes than you had before, then I'd like to be throwing those passes to Brown and also to Davis.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, now you can roll the dice. You can go into the draft and try to find somebody. You know, if you look at the league this year, the Minnesota Vikings gambled, and they traded Stephon Diggs. Now, granted, they certainly missed his production, but they hit on Justin Jefferson, who they drafted in the first round. This is a deep receiver draft, so, you know, you can, you know, go into the draft, but it is a risky proposition, especially if you're going to try and ask a rookie to come up with 900-plus yards receiving and catch 50 to 60 passes in his first time out of the gate. So, you know, they got lucky. A.J. Brown was able to do that last year. But, you know, it's not something that happens frequently in the NFL.
Talking to Terry McCormick, Titan Insider. So, Terry, this is another thing that we were trying to shape up here. We know that the pass rush is something they've got to get fixed. You got the Senior Bowl coming up. You're trying to start your assessment of what's there in the draft, what's there in free agency. Darren and I had a long analogy yesterday about you're going to the grocery store and you need apples. And in a particular year, you need those apples. You go into the grocery store and the apples aren't all that great. That's what happened last year with Beasley and Clowney, right? They tried to address it and they didn't get good apples. So how are the apples this year? What's the free agency market look like for pass rushers?
Look, they better forget the apples. They better go over to the meat aisle and buy some steaks and some roast beef.
Forget all that fruit stuff.
Okay, so but we need good grade meat then, if that's the analogy.
Yes, they need help in a bad way. Not in a bad way, in a good way, but in a desperate way. You know, one of the guys who's a free agent that was right there on display Sunday was Shaq Barrett of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, if I'm the Bucs, I don't know how in the world I let that guy get out the door as a free agent. But if he does hit the open market, if you're John Robinson, that's somebody that you have to have your eye on. That's somebody that you look at that guy and go, that's a difference maker. That's somebody that can change the game for you on defense, because you put that guy on one side and Harold Landry on the other side and you've got something. You know, I think as far as, you know, this pass rush, I think they need to sign at least one free agent, which, you know, one big-time free agent, maybe, you know, Shaq Barrett, Bud Dupree, whoever you want to go after. There's a few big names that could get to the open market here. And then I think you have to spend a lot of your draft. I would completely revamp the outside linebacker position. Other than Harold Landry, nobody else on that roster to me would be safe at the outside linebacker position. I would go get one big-time free agent. I would probably sign another lesser free agent, and then I would spend two draft picks at outside linebacker, one in the first round and probably one in the third or fourth round.
That makes sense. You know, the one thing I think is encouraging is when you really only have one glaring hole, and I think that there's other holes, but that's the most glaring one. I think it's easier to fix one hole as opposed to four or five that you know, was the situation as John Robinson inherited the job. So maybe I'm optimistic, but we were talking about this too, Terry. The AFC is going to be very deep again next year, one way or the other. There's so many teams that have, when you start listing, okay, who's coming back? How does it look for next year? It is not going to be easy to get back to the playoffs, let alone compete for the Super Bowl next year. So they've got to make some moves that move them forward, right? They've got to be better next year if they want to be back in the mix.
Oh, no doubt about it, because when you look just at the playoff teams this year, I mean, obviously Kansas City is setting the bar. You know, that's a team that's not going away. As long as you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got weapons like Tyreek Hill to throw to and Travis Kelce, that's a team that's not going away. They're, you know, I mean, people are talking that like that Mahomes might be the next guy like Brady to win, you know, four, five, six Super Bowls before he's done. And nothing that they're doing right now tells me otherwise, that I think they absolutely have a chance to do that. You look at Buffalo. They're an up-and-coming team. They were probably a year away from really being ready to be a threat to the Chiefs. You look at Cleveland. They gave Kansas City all they wanted in the divisional round. And then you've got Baltimore, you know, which is always a formidable opponent. You got the, right in your own division, if the Indianapolis Colts can get their act together at the quarterback position, they're solid everywhere else. So you're talking about an AFC that is pretty stacked. You know, the Titans could be right now anywhere from the second or third best team in the AFC to the fifth or sixth best team in the AFC.
Last thing, Terry, ultimately, why do you think Dean Pease went to Atlanta with Arthur Smith?
Well, this is just kind of a speculative guess on my part, but I think Dean Pease was probably a little bored with retirement, and I think that when he first came here and Mike Vrabel talked him out of coming, you know, into coming and being his defensive coordinator for a couple of years, I think it was Dean Pease's way of taking a young first-time head coach that he wanted to see succeed and helping him out. And I think that's exactly what he's doing with Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith's a young first-time head coach, and I think that Dean Pease is willing to go out of his way and help him succeed just like he went out of his way to help Mike Vrabel.
Interesting. Good stuff as always. Really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing it. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Sounds good, guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, talking about the Titans. We'll come back and continue the discussion on the other side. David Poyle, his weekly chat with us coming up at 11:15. You're listening to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No